Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning this morning in verse 19. I'm actually going to go back to verse 16 to start the reading, but James chapter 1, our reading will start in verse 16. This is God's word. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. The one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Look back at verse 18. By his own choice, God gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You're not saved because you're better than somebody else. You're not saved because you're smarter than somebody else. You're saved because God chose to save. He chose to rescue. We owe it all to him. He gave us birth by the word of truth so that we could be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. On what basis? By his own choice. By his own choice. It was God's choice. It is by grace that you are saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. But even though we're not saved by our works, we are saved unto good works. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I'll let you take that yardstick and put it up next to your life, and you can tell me how you're doing. Are you quick to listen? or are you quick to tune out? Do you already formulate what you want to say in response before you've heard what the other person had to say to you? The book of Proverbs tells us that it is a shame and folly to answer before you've heard the other person's position. Be careful. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Now, slow to speak doesn't mean you speak with a southern drawl. But what it means is, wait. Be slow to speak. And be slow to anger. If you are quick-tempered, that is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the flesh. That is sinful flesh. And human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. There are some people who feel that their significance, their value, is dependent on their being perpetually irritated by the incompetence of others. Everywhere they go, they're just, look at that. Look at that. Did you see that? They walk around in a perpetual state, or drive around in a perpetual state, of irritation with the world at large. Okay, you don't have to convince me that humans have big problems. But Jesus came to save sinners. So try to let the Holy Spirit change the way you view people so that you view them with compassion. We're supposed to even love our enemies. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Ridding yourselves of all moral filth. Did you know you don't have to stay the way you are? Did you know that? Well, it's just the way I am. I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You can rid yourself of all moral filth. Not just of the worst of it. Not just of the parts that are less satisfying. You can rid yourself, it says right here, of all moral filth through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the capacity to say no to sin. And the evil that is so prevalent. What does that mean? That means it's everywhere. Do you ever notice that there's a lot of evil in this world? Yeah, it's prevalent. It's all around. Seems to be winning the day. But you don't have to have it controlling your life. You can say no. You can be different. To repent means to make a U-turn. It's a change of mind that results in a change of direction. To repent means that you don't just say, oh, I shouldn't do this. It means you stop doing it. Ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. God's word is what produces faith. And faith is the means by which we experience God's grace. And God's grace is what saves us. But when he says humbly receive the implanted word, he wants to make it very clear that means you put it into practice. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I heard it from a reputable source. I believe it to be true. One of the worst, monstrous dictators of the 20th century was a man named Joseph Stalin. Killed millions, killed way more than Adolf Hitler. That I know. What I have heard and find believable, though very sad, is that before Stalin became a dictator in Russia, he had trained for the priesthood and had memorized tons of scripture. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to memorize it. You've got to obey it. How well do you think the devil knows the Bible? He's smart. He's been around a long time. And he quoted scripture to Jesus in order to try and tempt Jesus. It is not enough to be a hearer of the word. It's not enough to know what the Bible says. You've got to do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. There's no point in looking in the mirror unless you're going to make some changes, right? Don't be like the Fonz. Only a few of you are old enough to remember the Fonz. The Fonz was famous for pulling out his comb and going to look in the mirror and going, it was like, how can that be improved upon? I'm so wonderful. Don't be like that. The purpose in looking in the mirror is to see what needs to be fixed. Don't be like someone who looks at himself in the mirror and then promptly forgets what he has seen and what kind of person he was. The one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, that person will be blessed in what he does. Again, you use the yardstick on yourself. Don't think about somebody else. Oh yeah, they need that. Sometimes God's word goes in one ear and out the elbow. Okay? It's like, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? You need to know that. You need to change. We need to change. Okay? This is for us.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
If anyone thinks he's a religious, that he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Now chapter 3 is going to deal with this at length. James is going to revisit it and he's going to really teach powerfully on this. But here, he goes ahead and mentions it and says, if you don't control your mouth, if you're not careful with your words, he's already said we ought to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. How do you do at controlling your tongue? I got a bad habit in elementary school of using bad words, bad language around certain people. I never did it in front of my parents because I valued my life. But around certain friends, I had a different vocabulary. I had learned it from an older sibling who was not always the best influence. And man, I just, in certain situations, found it an emotional release to say bad words. Can anybody here relate to that? And my pastor's son, who was a year younger than I was, confronted me about it. He said, "I know that you love the Lord, but I want to ask you to please read these two passages." And he gave me verses from Colossians and Ephesians, in which Paul makes it very clear that grieves the Lord when you talk like that. And I read it, and I'd read Colossians before, I'd read Ephesians before, and I just skimmed right over those verses, kind of like it talks about being a hearer and not a doer. When I read those that day with my friend who was praying for me to repent, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I began changing the way that I talk. It was genuine repentance, but it required a process of growth. It took time for me to change. And I'll tell you some things that helped me. Number one, you are what you eat. If you don't want to use bad language, don't listen to bad language. Don't read bad language. Don't read stuff that has bad language in it. Don't play through your little earpiece songs that have bad language in them. Don't hang out with people who talk like that. Don't consume that stuff, or it's what's going to come to mind. So what do? Just starve? No, start feeding on the Word of God. And choose to speak the language of heaven, which is praise. If you're in a situation where previously you would have said a bad word, like, for example, you're hammering and you hit your thumb, that would be one of those occasions when you might want to say something you shouldn't. So I began training myself in situations like that to say, praise the Lord. To make a choice that if you hurt yourself or something goes wrong, praise Him, because He's worthy of praise all the time. So when I was in college, having changed dramatically over those years from age 14 to 17, when I was in college and I was taking snow skiing class, I headed down the hill for the first time, never having had any skiing lessons. And I thought, I don't know how to stop. Nobody told me anything. They just rented the equipment and gave me a lift ticket and good luck. I went up the intermediate slope. Because beginners, I mean, you know, that's not very macho. Dumb, stupid, incredible. Anyway, I'm going down the intermediate slope, headed for destruction. And I thought, the only way I know to slow down is to throw myself to the side here and wipe out. So I did. And I mean, boom, 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 the skis come off. And I said, praise the Lord. And I got up, I put my skis back on, and I got in a standing position, started back down the slope. And when I could tell I was getting close to terminal speed, I threw myself to the right again, and boom, skis come off. And I said, praise the Lord. I got up the third time, started down again. Still couldn't see the place down below. When I got to where I could see it, I threw myself on my side. Boom, ski comes off. I didn't say anything. And so I didn't put my skis back on. I just walked down the rest of the way. Because I could tell I was headed in the wrong direction. You understand? I went from praise the Lord to praise the Lord to I'm not saying anything. You know what you need to do? control your tongue. If anyone thinks he's religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Okay, please take that to heart, because that's God's word. Controlling your tongue is not something that, that would be good, but I just don't think I'm up for that. Well, you better get in the groove. You better start asking God to change you, because the goal here is not just to avoid hell. The goal here is to represent Jesus. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. On the one hand, doing practical things to meet the needs of those who can't repay you. God has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans. And if you want to please him, do what he likes, and that is to give help to people who need it and who can't repay you. But it doesn't stop there. Some people think if they are engaged in good works, they can also engage in immoral behavior. And this makes it clear that is not the case. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world stain you with its moral filth. Don't think that because other people are doing it, it's just what everybody does. You're not everybody. If you're a child of God, you're called to holiness. You're supposed to be like Jesus. He will change you, and guess what? The world won't like it. You think, well, you know, if I was like Jesus, maybe everybody would love me. They didn't love Jesus. They killed him. Well, why would I want to do this? You're telling me I need to do something that requires supernatural strength, and the outcome is that tons of people are going to hate me for it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. All people everywhere are going to stand before God one day. Everybody. It's not like, oh, I better be careful because some people are going to have to answer to God. Everybody's going to have to answer to God. And Jesus says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people even find it. Which road are you on this morning? Are you growing in your walk with God, or are you just wanting to be on that broad highway? Stick with the multitude. Stay where it's popular. If you want to be on the narrow road, you got to repent. And you will find yourself having turned around, facing a lot of traffic that thinks you're getting in the way. You're an obstacle. You make it unpleasant because you're going against the flow. Your goal is not to try and make everybody uncomfortable. It's just some people get uncomfortable when they see that you're going this way on purpose, because it raises questions in their mind about, what if she's right? What if it's not okay to do what we're doing? Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.